Welcome. This is the Effective Challenge Podcast, the place for thoughts, ideas, and observations around how to improve performance and the results you're able to achieve. Welcome to this week's episode of the Effective Challenge Podcast, episode 37. It's good to be back. I hope this finds you well and you've had a really effective week. Looks like spring is back on track, which is good. And for those of you listening in the UK, we this weekend that I'm recording this marks the time in the year when our clocks go forward. My week over the last sort of 7 days has been interesting, really mix of coaching and other projects. Coaching has had a span of different topics and working in different environments, which I thoroughly enjoy. I love the variety that brings. Once again, it's reinforced there are very similar challenges no matter what the setting. Examples from this week, the seeking out what progress looks like for a particular individual. The fact that we can get in our own way. Some of our thoughts can really interfere with what we would ideally like, and the real mix of expectations that people can find themselves getting caught up in, and the fact that so often those expectations really don't match up to the reality that we find ourselves operating in. Talking of expectations, thanks for the comments from people who emailed with respect to episode 36, which was all about the opinions of other people. And yeah, that sounds like that's a topic that resonates with many of us. And so I'm sure I'll come back to that and explore it, other aspects of that particular topic in future episodes. I've been doing a bit of research for a new webinar on productivity that I'm looking at providing and producing, and that has brought to light in more depth than I'd seen previously some of the challenges and opportunities around this topic, which, to be fair, is a significant one for so many of us. What does it mean to be productive? One of the things that has come out in the research is the number of people seeking some elusive form of productivity. And certainly the conversations that I have with individuals, that is quite a common topic that emerges. And also, what can happen when people have set up some elusive form of what it means to be productive and they fall short of it, so they're not able to achieve all that they'd ideally like. And the irony of that is it tends to have quite a negative impact. So I thought that would make quite a good topic for this week's podcast, which is looking at the pressure to be productive. So where does pressure come from, I guess, is the place to start this exploration. And for me, the first place I would look to is ourselves. So often we put ourselves under unrealistic pressure around the expectations that we set. We create a world that, in actual fact, is never likely to exist, where everything, falls into place and we have the resources and things take as long as we estimate and, people don't let us down, et cetera, et cetera. Inevitably, we're going to fall short of that because life certainly in my experience, both personally and working with many other people in many different settings, life just isn't like that. And when we fall short, we can very easily find that we lose perspective and balance, and that doesn't create a whole set of behaviours that are really conducive to us being productive. But it's not just from within ourselves that this pressure can come from. It comes from cultural and societal pressures. And, it's increasingly, I would argue, harder to tell the difference between when we're just simply being busy and when we're being productive. And, you know, being productive, I would argue, used to be easier to quantify. And very much, you know, being productive had an association with value and the value we were able to bring. So if you're going to go right the way back, you know, let's look at the hunter-gatherer period, or the agricultural age, or the industrial age. You know, when people were busy, it really did mean that, you know, that likelihood they were going to be producing value. You know, food got hunted, fields got ploughed, widgets got made. There used to be edges, and I think this is an important one, particularly post, well, throughout the COVID period, and certainly post COVID. There used to be edges to where, you know, what work was and where we would be able to work. For a start, you typically had to be in a physical location to be able to work. And those boundaries have really changed. And when people are in a position, particularly if they perhaps, you know, they're reliant on, you know, the internet and a laptop, you know, literally they can work anywhere. You know, there isn't a physical boundary. That makes things, or can make things, pretty hard, particularly if we haven't got the sort of scaffolding, the edges around what work means. But of course, it's, for me, I would also argue, it's not just people that work with laptops and the internet. You know, in this modern society, some of the pressures that people might face, even in some of the, you know, the typical trades, like your electrician, your plumber. Yes, you physically have to be in a location to do that work. However, you know, that doesn't stop people, you know, messaging you, all hours. Doesn't seem to, it's not a working day when those messages are going to arrive. They're at least as likely to arrive in the day as perhaps when you're down the pub. And then you're in a position where you perhaps put a bit of pressure on, do I need to respond or do I not? You know, do I resist this? You know, either way, both of those are going to take some energy and effort. If we're able to set and manage those boundaries, that's great. And for some people that works brilliantly and they have a real discipline around those things. However, you know, for many people that's much easier said than done. And if we find that we are unable to manage those boundaries, we get ourselves into this unhelpful thinking, and that thinking, I've said this before, that thinking will drive feelings and ultimately drive our behaviours. And therefore, you know, it can be that people end up finding themselves in a position where they can be quite spiteful to themselves. They beat themselves up about, you know, the need to be productive and, you know, the hours that they're working and you know, always needing to do that bit more. And, you know, ultimately it's not that helpful. So what might some of the dangers be of beating ourselves up? Well, I think it probably comes in many forms. I'll list out a couple here by way of illustration. So that negative self-talk, you know, comparison to others is a real kicker for some people. You know, well, they seem to have all their situations handled well. Why can't I do it? And they have it together. You know, why can't I? And then that can invoke some perhaps unhelpful emotions and feelings, perhaps some, a little bit of envy, a little bit of jealousy around comparing ourselves to other people. Self-blame is another area where it can kick in. Holding yourself to account for things that are literally outside of your control, perhaps the behaviour of other people. Now, of course, we might be able to influence other people's behaviour, but ultimately their behaviour is down to them. We literally have no real understanding of what people might be going through, and you know, what might be the explanation for their behaviour. And yet, if something isn't going how we would ideally like, you know, there can be a tendency to put that blame at our own door. Events not going our way, perhaps a sales pitch that somebody's gone for and it's not worked out. Perhaps a job interview, and people overly identify the outcome of that with them and their, you know, if only they were being a bit more productive, a bit more efficient in what they do, then they would have achieved the desired result. Of course, that might be the case, but chances are it's just not. It's way beyond your sphere of influence. You can get into some quite destructive, I would argue, destructive behaviours, and some of these are a bit tricky because they look like they are a really, you know, quite positive thing, wanting to do better. And of course, wanting to do better is, it could be a really good thing. However, there's a fine line between wanting to do better and slipping into a whole set of behaviours around perfectionism. And the kind of lead on from perfectionism, and something people don't always associate with a perfectionist, is procrastination. You know, putting things off because you can't quite get the right conditions to do what you want to do. Neglecting self-care, you know, things like good diet, sleep, exercise. These are quite early indicators for me when these sort of things start to slip, both for myself and, you know, what I see in other people. That's an example of, you know, not being kind to yourself, beating yourself up. Once we're into that mode, then we can find that we have the emergence of feelings of guilt. We can find that, you know, often it's quite hard to get pleasure out of the things that we want to do in life. You know, the blurring of when a weekend is, when an evening is, being encroached on by work, needing to do more. Not really being present, or perhaps a bit distracted with the people that arguably we care most about. All of these things can create quite unhelpful cycles. And it's in those cycles, if we're not able to spot them and ideally interrupt them and manage them, we can find ourselves with some perhaps a little bit more serious elements of, you know, perhaps leading to some sort of burnout or, you know, some negative mental health outcomes, which ideally we would avoid. Okay, so what might be some strategies for managing and ideally avoiding finding ourselves in this position? Okay, so I've already alluded to it. You know, interrupting the thinking early is a really sound way. If we can, you know, it's a skill you can learn to interrupt your thinking. So if we can get that to a level where we can recognise an unhelpful thought and B, interrupt it with something a bit more productive, that can get us into a whole better place. And ideally, you know, even if we can't get into a massively better place, we avoid spiralling, which is something that, you know, many people find themselves in. The earlier we can do that interrupt, the better. Challenge the thought. You know, some ways to do that, you know, use facts. You know, this situation, you know, I've got this inbox. I need to complete it, or I need to get it under control before I leave. Or shut down the laptop for the night. So what are the facts around that? What might be the implications of not doing that? You know, what are the actual facts? So testing that. Putting the thought into perspective, I've probably mentioned, or certainly mentioned in much earlier podcasts, the, you know, using scale as a way to draw out perspective. And, you know, a very simple one is on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10's death, where does this situation sit? Minding your language. I think this is best illustrated through a few examples. The use of the word should has, for many people, quite implications that aren't that helpful. If we flip that and switch it for using the word could, well, could has a bit more of possibility, perhaps a little bit less judgment behind it. I mentioned earlier about the clocks going forward. Here's a good example I heard this week. Credit a chap called author called Michael Heppel, who I read one of his blogs, I think it was this week, where he was talking about this. And, you know, when you think about the clocks changing, are you losing an hour's sleep or are you gaining an hour's daylight? Same situation, different perspective, different language. Another example of this would be to have to versus get to. You know, having to go to work versus getting to go to work. Have a conversation with someone who's been made redundant or who can't get a job and see which one that they would recommend you use. You know, that's a gift for us. We can do that. Now, to be clear, what I'm not talking about here is, you know, psych up, self-talk. Like, okay, so that might help to a point, but that's really not going to help you handle the inevitable realities of life. I think what we're talking about, because stuff is going to happen that we would ideally wouldn't have to face, but I think if we can change some of the language, we put ourselves in a much, much stronger position to handle those situations with something a bit more constructive. Okay, next area to explore here would be shifting what you're actually doing. Now, you might not be in a position to do this. However, if you are, shifting your thinking to just move it onto something more constructive can be definitely worth exploring. So if you're stuck, you know, you're writing something, if you're stuck, move on to do something else. Just free yourself up. Don't keep beating yourself up to come up with the idea. If you're doing something creative, you know, if you can't think of the way to start a conversation with someone, move on. Do something completely different. See if something, some fresh insight then shows up subsequently. What might you do to move the situation just by a bit? So really narrow down. If you're a bit, you know, if you're feeling and you're beating yourself up that perhaps the task that you want to achieve, the project you want to complete, is just a bit overwhelming. What might be something really small that could move the needle on that particular topic, that particular subject that you want to make some progress with? From there, you can build. From there, you know, once you see a little bit of progress, you can build and build. And it's an aggregation of all those things that can really mean that you get something that's really solid in terms of performance and productivity. I think sometimes, you know, I would refer to this as, you know, seeing something through the eyes of progress, not perfection. So what's the bare minimum that you can do? Okay, so I mentioned earlier that, you know, I see this myself, that when I'm, you know, starting to, you know, things are getting a little bit out of hand, but perhaps a little, things are coming at me a little bit quicker and in greater volume than I would ideally like. Really, it's really easy for those sort of self-care things to slip. And, you know, I'd include within that, you know, compassion, a bit of compassion for ourselves. If you really want to be productive, I would argue strongly that, you know, you need to be prioritizing that stuff, you know, getting yourself in the best shape possible, mentally, physically, to be able to take on the things that come our way. I look at this through, you know, a resilience type approach, and I break resilience down into five areas: physical, rest, intake, by which I mean the foods we eat, the drinks we drink, our minds and our energy. So physical health, you know, from a self-care, self-compassion, this is about making sure we're looking after ourselves, ironically, physically. So, you know, doing some exercise perhaps, and I don't mean by any stretch of the imagination here being an Olympic athlete, but just doing some moderate exercise, getting outside perhaps, getting some fresh air, really beneficial. I also see more often than I thought I would when coaching people, you know, perhaps some physical, you know, chronic issue that somebody's had, you know, perhaps a bit of back pain, perhaps a bit of toothache, you know, looking after that stuff, getting that right can only help our productivity and performance. Rest, obvious one there. Sleep, making sure we're getting enough sleep. For adults, that's 7 to 9 hours a night. I always, when working with people, just, you know, we discuss and work out, like, are you waking up feeling refreshed? I think that's the important thing there. Another part of rest is making sure we're taking breaks. Again, sounds so obvious, but it's surprising the amount of people that don't take breaks during the day. And that has all sorts of implications for our productivity. Yeah, I'm not going to go into the detail of that in this cast. Yeah, that's certainly something I've covered in previous ones and something I will definitely be revisiting in the future. So intake, the foods we eat, the drinks we drink. This isn't just about, you know, what you're eating and drinking, but when and how. Both important. And, you know, again, a bit like the physical one, not being an Olympic athlete, this isn't saying, you know, you only ever eat, you know, vegetables and, you know, unprocessed foods. Like, but it's just making sure we are raising our awareness and getting things into balance. Mental health, you know, this is about being aware, managing our emotions, you know, looking after them in a way that is just not obvious unless we prioritize the time. There are different ways to do that. Some people get real benefit from meditation. I also work with people that find things like meditation incredibly frustrating and actually add to their challenges around their mental health. I've alluded to one of these examples already, but interrupting unhelpful thoughts, you know, having some strategies in play to be able to do that. Having a support network, you know, people you can talk to, people you trust. And I would always argue, you know, having people from different backgrounds can be really beneficial for that. And final one around this, just by way of illustration and as an example, is downloading our thoughts, getting them out of our head. Sometimes it's really easy, particularly if again things are coming at us a bit quicker, a bit faster. We're trying to overly manage things in our head, and that can be really unhelpful. And then the final one is energy, and you know, how are we using our energy? Are we being efficient? Are we being effective? Are we managing the environment in which we operate that's gonna, you know, it's gonna impact on our energy? And just doing an environment audit can be really beneficial. You know, what's helping, what's hindering, what might you do differently to adjust? So that's by way of sort of self-care, self-compassion, resilience, five areas to think about: physical, rest, intake, mind, and energy. Okay, so final area where I would say is important for us to think quite seriously around our productivity and effectiveness is this thing around expectation versus reality. This is a biggie. This is something that so often people aren't aware of. And skip over, as even if they are aware of it, just skip over because it's, you know, something they don't believe they can do much about. So often the fact that we get ourselves into some less productive states of mind, less productive behaviours, is because we've set up right from the outset some unrealistic expectations. Overloaded plans for the day, perhaps overloaded plans for the week. You know, looking at your calendar, looking at your to-do lists, and you know, cramming more in because we kind of have this sense that we need them to be jam-packed. Or something. This is the case for some people, certainly won't be for all. I like the analogy of a traffic jam here. So if there's too much traffic, you know, perhaps a three-lane road that's converged into one because of roadworks, you know, things just aren't going to flow as well. Stuff gets clogged up. And yet if we kind of remove some of that traffic, stuff flows beautifully on a single lane road. So when we think about, you know, our commitments, our activities, the to-do lists that we have, just being mindful and setting up a reasonable expectation and being prepared to adjust. Because, you know, inevitably, the reality that we will face, we won't be able to second guess everything. So doing something whereby, you know, we've set an expectation and be ready and, you know, actually, you know, keep monitoring, is this still an expectation that's reasonable? You can really change what you're able to achieve and your outlook as a result. So adapting as you go, you know, it's not ideal if we have to change our plans, but the reality is, you know, we won't achieve all that we want in many of the cases that we will face. And that, you know, if we don't adjust, that's going to impact on our mood. It's not going to make things easier. It's going to make them harder. And it's inevitable. You know, things might come your way that are even higher priority, new things you hadn't even thought of. So, yeah, expectation versus reality. Be mindful and keep that in your awareness. So that's a very quick canter through lots of ideas and thoughts there, probably more than other casts. This is a really important topic, you know, the topic of productivity and our effectiveness. I guess it's at the heart of many of the Effective Challenge podcasts. And, you know, I can think of all sorts of content that I want to cover in future episodes. Some of the reasons behind this and the reason why people find this hard, you know, like I say, the pressures of society, the pressures of life, the pressure that we place on ourselves, just be mindful of those things and make sure we've got appropriate ways and ideas to manage them. Of course, I've covered quite a few here. There are many, many more. I'm sure you're using some yourselves that, you know, perhaps other people could find benefit and use from. If you've got something, I'd love to hear about that. Please share. Drop me an email. It's damian@effectivechallenge.com. That's Damian, D-A-M-I-A-N, @effectivechallenge.com. Likewise, same address for any other thoughts, comments, questions that you might have. It's great to get some input. It does influence the topics that I feature in future episodes. So, if you're holding back on that one, please do drop me a line. Likewise, if you have not subscribed, please subscribe to the podcast and do share with others if you think they could benefit from the content. Okay, that's it for this week. Until next time, I wish you really well. And bye for now. Take care.